Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
All right, guys, happy Wednesday. Welcome to another action-packed episode of Your Welcome, critically acclaimed. And who is acclaiming that critically? Don't get into the details. Listen, here's the point. A lot went down over the weekend. I had so much fun on Saturday. I will admit I got kicked off on the right start because Uriah Hall had an epic performance and an epic comeback. I loved the outcome, but I was very proud of him. I mean, what about a guy regaining his composure, staying in a fight? That's what it's all about. A lot easier said than done, and he did it. So, okay, great. My night gets kicked off on the right foot. And then I'm watching FS1, and I'm flipping back and forth on my TV because the pay-per-view's going, and Canelo and Triple G walked a little bit earlier than most guys do. I talked to Kevin Ioli before every major boxing match because he's always there covering him. I just want to know what time is the main event leaving the locker room. I ask him the same question every time. I get the same answer every time. About 8:50, 9 o'clock. And this one, he said, no, these guys should be walking before 8 p.m., so, okay, great. Everything's a little bit faster. I got to get situated. So I'm going back and forth. Lombard goes out there. Lombard has a good fight. I mean, I could break down the UFC. I'm getting action. Every time there's a commercial break, boom, I'm back on pay-per-view. Incredible fight, incredible rounds. I got to see everything with no breaks. Got to see the UFC without watching commercial breaks. I got to see Canelo and Triple G without seeing the breaks in between rounds. So, fun night. Let's start with Triple G. Listen, this wasn't all that close of a fight. You got one guy pushing forward. His name's Triple G. You got one guy landing a ton of punches. His name is Triple G. You got both guys landing hard shots, but one guy's only landing hard shots. When Canelo threw punches, he was throwing power. Everything that landed, and in comparison to what Triple G did, that wasn't much. But everything that landed was really hard. Triple G had a ton of hard punches, but then he had a lot of setup punches in there too. So when you're judging that, I think that that's pretty clear. For me, I think that's pretty straightforward. One guy's pushing the action. His name's Triple G. One guy's landing a whole bunch of punches. That guy's name's Triple G. Both guys are landing power shots. I think it's pretty clear how you're going to judge that. I had that 8-4. I could have seen it 9-3, but all for Triple G. So the scorecards come in, and one judge had it the same way I did, 8-4. Another judge had it dead even. But the third judge, Adelaine Bird, had it 10 rounds to 2 for Canelo. That's a very tough argument to make, but it can be made. It can be made in the world of judging, and Adelaine took some big heat for this. Jim Rome said it best. A whole bunch of people, oh man, she got buried over the weekend. I liked how Jim Rome said it best. He said it in a tweet, and he said, it's never good when somebody knows a judge's name, period. Adelaine Bird, period. So it kind of summed it. Yeah, you like that, Jacob? That's a pretty good line. He could use that in his own smack off right there. That was pretty good by Rome, but he makes a fair point. I mean, nobody should know the judges' names. They should just be there, check in and check out. And for the most case, that is right, unless something goes wrong. And she took some major heat. Now, let's stay on this topic. It's not the first time. This is a perfectly sweet lady. But what she sees out there and how and why she sees it, it would be very helpful, if not at this point mandatory for future assignments, to explain to us what is it you're looking for? Because judging is a pretty wide open criteria. So I just broke down my examples. You got one guy pushing forward named Triple G. Got one guy landing a whole bunch of punches named Triple G, and you got two guys that are landing some good power shots. So that's what I'm looking at. Does that make me right? I think you guys agree with me, but does that make us right? The problem that we are up against is in judging, it is completely subjective, and you're wide open. But when one judge is on a different galaxy than the two other judges and is repeatedly Now all of a sudden you've got a little bit of review. Fantasy football fans, the wait is over. Football is back, which means FanDuel is back. Fantasy football for everyday fans, new contests start every week. There's no more busted season, guys. Everything for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Over 2.5 million players have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com. Click the Join Now button and use my code CHAIL. Try FanDuel for free with no deposit required. Visit FanDuel.com to claim your free contest and play for a share of $10,000. Just sign up using the promo code CHAIL. That's it. Go to FanDuel.com, promo code CHAIL, void where prohibited now. All right, hold on. Jacob's handing me something. What am I reading here? Breaking. Judge Adelaine Byrd has been taken off UFC 216 fight card in Vegas. Nevada State Athletic Commission says she needs time to regroup. That's helpful. How did you find that so fast? Would you turn a microphone on, please? How about this one? You're giving me good stuff right now. Where did you get that? That actually ruined where I was going with the show, but now we just go in a different direction. So where did you get that first off?
I was on Twitter.
Okay, how did you get it so fast?
Ethan's phone over here.
Brought that up.
Yeah.
Did you see the fight? Are you up to speed on this topic?
Just brief highlights.
Okay, so, I mean, I just told you what happened. It was 8-4, Triple G. Okay, listen, that actually just changed the direction. Let me finish a thought that I was going to have, but it seems like an appropriate remedy is in there. First off, I like that it says she needs time to regroup. I do not maintain she needs to be fired or lose her position. A lot of people would disagree with me and think it needs to be a little bit harsher than that. I just don't, because you have to understand, Jacob, this is so important for you and everybody else if we're going to have this topic. Judging is subjective. And while the ring announcers, I remember Goldie and Rogan used to tell you this before every fight. Sean and Jimmy would tell us this before every fight, that it's about, cage control, that it's about pressuring the fight, that it's about controlling the action. Well, they're saying that, but that isn't actually what the rules say. They're saying that because that is what we all have agreed should be looked at, but the rules don't actually confine the judges to that. The rules in some states will say damage. Who did the most damage? It will use that specific word. So that is a little bit more open, because Canelo was landing big power shots. Now, could you make this case? No, I don't think so. I think you're going to come in second. I'm just saying, does somebody need to be fired for it? I don't think so. Do we need a review of this? Do we need to sit down and talk? Do we need to understand that there's a lot on the line here? This fight is taking place in Nevada, a state that stays above water because of gaming, a commission that is regulated by the same attorney general who oversees gaming. So if somebody wants to be on an outsider and point and call foul ball, that person's wrong. Foul ball only takes place if there is collusion done ahead of time, which means ahead of time there is an agreement made to cheat the system. That did not happen. But we do have incompetence that needs to be looked at. So how do you handle that? How do you handle that being a regulatory body that is an element and an arm of a government agency? That changes everything. This is a government agency. And how do you weigh that against PR and public relations and let everybody know, look, this one was out there, but we are above board, when it isn't the first time?
See, okay, I have a bit, I feel like I have some say in this, because I don't ref fighting, but I do ref baseball. And there's an element that they include in there. There are rules. There's the rule interpretation. Like, coaches can get, like, everyone gets mad at calls and all that, but they only have a real right to challenge rule interpretations that you got wrong. In judgment calls, you can come out and argue, but unless another umpire saw something different and that umpire chooses to go to his partner, it's a judgment call. They say ball, strikes, fair, fouls, and safe and outs. Yeah, it depends on your angle, but if the umpire decided he wanted to call it that way, if that's what he saw, then he saw it. And he's the one who's paid to make that call.
Right.
So, and a damage, from how you're describing it, is a judgment call. Oh, he looked more beat up than the other person.
Sure.
Or he's looking like he's taking that hit a little harder on his face and he's not recovering as well. I'm going to put that into account into my score. So you can't really argue against that. Now, I the only way I feel like this is justified as far as like taking time off is if it happened consistently. Like, if are you making judgment calls that maybe are just so blatant? Like, if we live in a world that's social media, and I really hope that those judges aren't using like some fan who comes up and say, "Hey, watch that punch again. Do you feel like you might change your mind now while the fight's going on?" I pray that never happens. But are they? Is this happening over and over in the world of social media where they can go back and look at fights and go, actually, you know what? I was wrong there. Now, what can I learn from there? Is it a kind of judging?
And that's
where,
all we need. That will solve need. This. That's what we really need. That's what we really need is these naysayers. It's just simply a review. We don't need somebody fired. We don't need a scolding.
No,
if there
we don't
was
need
a collusion.
Firing. No, no.
But you never know what regroup means. Regroup sometimes is just a really nice way of saying, hey, this person's out and we'll see if they ever come back. You don't know that. And I don't actually wish that upon her, but I guess here's the thing. Bob Bennett came out. He's the executive director. So then Bob Bennett started to get dragged through the mud. Bob Bennett had come out and defended her quickly after and said, we have full faith moving forward in Adelaide Byrd. Now, that was a little bit of a peculiar statement considering what had just happened. So he then doubled down on that and said, matter of fact, he said this at a press conference, as a matter of fact, she is the judge that we use to train other judges. That's how good she is. So now all of a sudden you've got this big red herring, and now Bob Bennett starts to get drugged through it, and that he's part of the collusion and the corruption. That isn't fair. And let me explain. Now, I don't know that he should have made either of those statements. And I don't know that because perception is reality, but never is that statement more true than where you're dealing with a government entity. In politics, specifically, government is reality. Period. The end. So here's a thought that I'm trying to express to you. When he came out and said that and doubled down on his own person, on one hand, that was a cool move for a boss to do. On the other hand, you're a government agent, though. So if you're electing to do PR, and Jacob, it is elective. It is not part of his job requirement. But we see executive directors left, right, and center get bit by the bug, and they can't turn down an interview. So when you go out and you say that, you are responsible for the things that you have said. When people try to bring Bob Bennett into this, it is relevant if somebody knows him. So allow me to speak up. I know him. That's a good man, and that's an honest man. And he's also a pretty nice man. But he did 17 years in the FBI, and you had better bet from an integrity standpoint that means something. I want to make this point to you. There was no collusion here. So we don't have a conspiracy, but we may have a level of incompetence. That part we can speak to. So when Bob Bennett took this shit, because I don't love that Bob got drugged through this. I don't love that he made the statement. I don't know that he even should have been at that press conference. But I don't love that his character got called into this. I want to just offer you this. I'm not trying to defend as much as just to explain from a fair standpoint. When he took that job, the job restriction, can you be an administrator? Answer is yes. Do you understand the rules and the policies? The answer is yes. Can you keep your budget in the black and make sure that profits exceed expenditures? The answer was yes. Boom, they hired him. He's done all of those things. Nowhere in that job description does it say, are you great at judging MMA or boxing? Are you talented and skilled in training other people to judge MMA and boxing? It's just not there. That rule may need revisited. Maybe we learn from this that that part of the system is broken and we need a mechanism in place of some kind of schooling, like an amateur body of boxing or like an amateur body of wrestling would do, where there's different divisions. You've got the bronze, the silver, the gold. There's different ways to achieve that. Maybe we're learning that. I'm speaking of how it is set up right now, and with the subjectiveness that's in place, Bob Bennett's hands were clean. I don't love when people try to bring him into this. Adelaide Byrd, I think we just need some review. What is it you're looking at? What is it you're seeing? Is it what I'm hypothesizing, that you were deciding that Canelo's backing up and fewer punchers, but the ones that landed did more damage? I don't fully understand that, so maybe I need to be educated, because for me, Jacob, when I'm watching a boxing match specifically, a guy goes down or he doesn't, and I don't love the, well, that punch really hurt the other guy. Says who? If the other guy didn't go down, Who in the hell's to say that that, well, it looked like it hurt worse. Nah, that doesn't work for me. Did the guy stumble? Did he go back? Did you see his knees buckle? Did he go down?
It's a judgment
no.
at that point. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's why it's so weird to, like, say, yeah, she needs to go. Well, maybe she does. I mean, every once in a while you do get that one referee. I mean, okay, what sport hasn't had its share of bad officials?
None, of course.
All of them.
When people are judging people, it's never fair.
It's
and
never
controversy
fair.
Is good for sport.
Oh, it's definitely good.
I only offer you this, and you should tell me this when you're doing umpiring in baseball. Jacob, it's constant. It's very constant. She's a very sweet lady, and I'm not trying to pile on. I just am trying to tell the story the way that it's happened to give you a little bit more insight on this. Are you a huge boxer? I know you follow MMA, but is boxing in your wheelhouse, or is that...
Boxing's
kind of
a little bit outside. I feel like there needs to be a better presentation of it.
Okay.
Promotion.
Yeah, there you go. And that brings you in? Me
yes.
too. Yeah. I just don't want to condescend to you right now as though I'm telling you something you should know, but it sounds like perhaps you don't. So leading up to this fight, the judges were announced, and there was people that were writers that were going in ahead of time and pointing to her and saying, if this goes to a decision, who in the hell knows what's going to happen, because she's so all over the board. The only relevance to me bringing that up is this has been going on for a long time. And when they sit down to pick judges, here's what they do when they go pick judges for these big fights. Logically, this is going to sound to you like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But history has shown us it doesn't. So here's what they do. Who's available? Meaning, who's licensed? Who's our pool? Let's call them up. Are they free that day? Let's bring all those people in. That's the starting point. And then let's look at who has the most experience. And so the argument is made, well, she's done 119 of these, and she's available, so she's the person. That's the argument. But what history has shown us is that experience in these things or getting assigned over and over inappropriately should not add credibility to the argument that you're the right person for the job. So before this fight was ever done, I mean, leading up to it, once they announce this, and you're getting breakdowns and people that are handicapping this and picking it, and I want credit if I get it right, they were coming out and saying, look, I think that Canelo can knock him out, or I think Triple G can knock him out, whatever side they went on. But then they would always put in there, if this goes to the cards, though, and you've got Adelaide Byrd in that chair, who in the hell knows? And then that's what came out and happened. And so many people are crying foul ball, and they think it's a conspiracy. And when you understand the history of boxing, which is dirty and filthy, and the only reason a commission exists is because the mobsters used to fix these fights for money laundering and gaming reasons, it's not out of the scope for a reasonable person to then conclude the fix was in on it. The fix was not in on it. And then you go a step further. You go one step further, which is, well, now these guys are going to rematch, and that's going to do really great business, and everybody wins. It's all of those things are true. However, there was no collusion done here. There is no crime. It does appear there was some incompetence. So now we've learned. That was going to be my rant today, and I think that's fair, and I think people will still enjoy hearing what my thoughts were going to be. But then you bring that text to me where somebody above Bob Bennett, or Bob himself, and he just needed a day or two to sleep on it. Somebody above him is my suspicion. It could go all the way up to the governor, who does give respect to the fact that we game and we regulate, and we're going to do it right. And the governor in Nevada does do that. Somebody came in and said, no, enough's enough. And I think they deserve credit for that. To me, that sounds like a really good thing.
They're doing their job. They're being proactive in trying to make the fights more fair. Yep. And if you sent there, that is true. Most refs in any sport, if they were wrong, and if they go back and they're shown a video of like maybe a bad call they made, most will say, yeah, I screwed up. And then it's like, okay, now you admit you're wrong. What are you going to do about it? Well, you know, I could work on like my stance here. I can move over to this position right here. Yeah, maybe damage isn't so much, shouldn't be as much a consideration for scoring and all that. Say something like that, and people will maybe forgive. Do judges ever come out and talk about that ever? Or do they just go back into the shadows?
As close to never that 99.9, the answer is no. They're not supposed to.
That's good. I like that.
Yes.
And
same with umpires.
You said that at the beginning, the best fights, and I'll say the best games, are the games where the refs are invisible.
Yep.
We don't want to see them. The show is not about them. They're just there to regulate. And then when it gets out of hand, well, we still want – the refs are there to put it back in under control. And if we see well-regulated games, even in the ones that go out of get out of hand. Like maybe a fight actually broke out in the ring, or maybe a fight broke out on the field or whatever. We still don't see the refs.
Sure.
We just see the fight die down. That's what we want to see.
And that's a good thing you're saying.
That's a good thing. But as soon as you hear the name.
You agree with Jim Rome.
Thank you.
Good for you.
But as soon as, yes, we know that name. As soon as we know the name of an official and the fans, not just the coach. The coaches know the names. The fighters know the names. But as soon as the fans know the names, there's a problem.
Right.
And now that it's all out there. Yeah, something has to be done. Should she have been taken? I feel like she was taken off the next fight, UFC 216.
Oh, for sure. She was assigned, and now she's not.
Now she's not. Okay, that's fine. I think that's good face for the for UFC itself as far as regulating how to make our officials better. If that's the case, then fine. Yeah, I agree with you. There was no collusion here. But I do have a question. Why did it take so long?
Makes you wonder the backstory. My guess is it's very straightforward, but you did just show me one tweet, which was 140 characters, and that's what we're confined to start to make these kind of decisions. But it appears that the Nevada State Athletic Commission took her off of 216. You never know. When the UFC sees anything dirty, Dana White hates dirty because he came from the boxing world. He loved boxing, but he hated the world of boxing. He doesn't want anything that even smells like a rat at all. You never know who made those phone calls to the governor. Was that his decision on down, or did somebody influence him? You never know. But that is one thing the UFC is so proactive to make sure everything is as it should be. So you never know who made that. I wouldn't think that it was her. She's been in this spot before. I'm talking huge fights where people go, my God, what are you talking about? And again, it does come back to appearance. And when you're dealing with a governing body, and we are, that matters. Possibly more than anything, appearance matters. It doesn't look right, man. And I happen to know the players. I happen to know what a nice person she is. I happen to know what a straight guy Rob Bennett is. So I kind of want to come in and smooth this over a little bit for people. But at the same time, as much as I do appreciate her, allow me to be objective. She should not be doing that unless we, and I say this not only as a fan, not only as somebody that bought it, so I'm a customer, but as a fighter that's in there. Would somebody, for God's sake, come and tell us what in the hell the rules are? And that's one thing about this where it's so completely subjective. You hope that it goes right. And generally, when you're talking about fighting, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the playground or if you're talking about a controlled environment. Man, we all know who won. This isn't a hard job. We shouldn't have to break it down to who did one thing or the other. I've never seen an ass-whipping contest in my life and not known who won. I've never been in an ass-whipping contest and not known who won. That guy won, or I won. It's always been very clear. So, again, when you set this up, and we got to go off of history now, but the logic done when this was set up is what I just said. Three guys watch the fight. Your decision's final, but you all know who in the hell's going to win. You know just by looking at it who's going to win. And I really think it should be that simple, and I hope it does. I hope it stays that simple, but it seems as though we're getting into a point where we're going to have a bigger conversation, but I don't want to do that. Like, take grappling, what I came from, wrestling. We very clearly define what a takedown is or what a near fall is or what an exposure is. Now I'm overdoing some submission grappling. I had a tournament over the weekend, by the way. You didn't ask me about that. A little bit of a dick move by you. Why didn't you ask me how I did?
How'd you do?
Yeah, because you forgot. That's why. Won my matches. Thank you very much. I forfeited to my teammate in the final, so I came in second. I guess I should say that. I don't want to make it sound like I won the tournament. I was officially second, but I did win my matches.
Nice.
But the point I was trying to make, aside from you being rude to me, the bigger point I was trying to make.
Apologies.
Accepted. There's a system there where you have the takedown, and then they go into passing guard and mount and side control. They even do catches. They have a very clearly defined system, and the referee holds up some points, but whether he did or not, we all know who won because that's put in place. I think that that's great, and I think that that works really well. It would disappoint me if fighting went to that way. I love that it's wide open, particularly when you're talking about a sport that, from a technical standpoint, is in... Largely, people will say it's in its infancy. Perhaps it's growing out of its infancy. But from a technical standpoint, it is definitely a developing sport. If we lock down specifically what a takedown or a guard pass or a leg kick versus a body kick or a head kick is going to score for, you are going to freeze the sport. Because now we're all going to just be focused on those things so we can rack a point and get our hands raised. I don't want to see that happen. I want to see the sport stay wide open and free. So I don't know that I'm arguing to you that the judging needs to be specific like that. A touchdown's worth this and a field goal's worth that. I don't know that I'm saying that. But it would be nice to have some judges come out and say, listen, in a back room, we're given some real broad strokes. No fine, real broad strokes. But this is what we're looking for. Because even when we've had Douglas Crosby on, he's come on and he is a genius in this. He's the senior, meaning he's been licensed longer than anybody else in both Nevada and New Jersey. Licensed in all 50 damn states. He's licensed in other countries. He's worked every fight from world title fights on down. But when we get him on this show, he comes in and he plays a little bit. He kind of gives us a character and does some showman. It's like, Douglas, if I could just get you to focus, could you just tell us specifically what are judges looking for? And second question, who told the judges that that's what they should be looking for? Does it change in each jurisdiction? Because it might. I should know these answers. You should know these answers. The listeners should be given these answers, but we don't have them, Jacob, and I don't know that we ever will.
Okay, I was going to ask, what would make this better? I had an idea, but I think you just shot it down. I was going to say, what would it be like if we actually had a scoreboard at fights, boxing or UFC, if we actually saw who's winning? Like, the judges are like, oh, that round, there's something's happening in this round that's giving this guy a better angle. And then even the fighters can look at that and go, huh. But I think you just shot it down because then that makes it less organic, I guess might be a good suggestion for it.
But we could meet in the middle here. I don't know if I've shot it. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that you may not understand. I might take for granted that the listeners understand too. In boxing and MMA, it's the same commission. In fact, the commission is literally called Boxing and MMA Commission. It used to be called Boxing and Wrestling Commission. It's now the Boxing and MMA Commission. Only three states in the whole country still also have boxing, MMA, and wrestling. Oregon happens to be one of them. Not totally relevant to the story, just sharing my intelligence with you. But the point of it is this. It's the same people. So Adeline will go in and do boxing. She'll go and do MMA. And most people float back and forth. Some guys are specifically boxing. But most people kind of float. And it's the same commission and the same license. I have a same license and everything else. So let's break this down. At the end of each round in boxing, which is what we're talking about specifically, three-minute rounds, professional prize fighting. The judges will turn their scores in after each round, so no judge can ever go back and fix a score or go, well, I had that one wrong, or, well, I had all of these right, but I really think this person's winning the fight overall. Whatever the reason may be, just so you understand the process, after every single three-minute frame, they will turn their score. They can't change them. It's now collected. It's put on the executive director's desk, and he's doing the math from then on out. So with that in mind, I love what you're saying, and I've always wanted to do that. We're at the end of each round. Let's post those, much like on a scoreboard, like you're saying, with baseball or football or other major basketball, any sport.
MMA is the only sport that I can think of that does not have a scoreboard.
Yeah, any sport, right? You got, with the timer on there, the rounds on there, the score. I mean, put up a scoreboard. Okay. That would solve some problems, and it would also, I think it would help people to understand, and it would also let the fighters know, I've got to go for it. No more how do I feel in my heart or what's my corner saying. Whether I agree with it, I don't agree with it, I'm pissed off, I got to argue, whatever it is, now I know what I have to do. One guy's going to use that the other way, though. He's going to go, well, now all I got to do is eat up clock. So does that hurt the sport? I think that's one of the reasons they don't do it. The other side of it is there is a major dramatic effect from a production, entertainment, and television standpoint.
Of the drama.
Exactly. Of reading the decision,
yes.
Right? Of reading the decision. So, yeah, you're going to lose that. That's true. You are going to lose a little of that. I just would argue, again, from a TV's exec standpoint, you've already got our money. We already paid. Yeah, I don't know that that changes business, and I know business is what over makes the decisions on all of these things, and I don't even contest that it should. I just will acknowledge that it does. I don't think they lose anything. I think for us fans, I think it would leave us less pissed off. We would understand it because, to your point, it's the only sport that doesn't do it, and we're not complaining that the other sports post the score. So why in the hell wouldn't you? And, you know, let us know who's winning. They're turned in. It's not a big secret. They're turned in. So just let us know. Let everybody know what's going on.
I don't see the problem. Maybe at the end of each round, don't even keep up the scores, and then let them do the math themselves. I don't know. Just something to show, make the outcry less. Or, I mean, like, even football players, like, say why something happened. Like, football refs, they'll pause the game and they'll scream out to the entire crowd over the microphone, like, what they just saw.
Sure.
And they'll get together and they'll say, this is the play. You may not like it. You may you may love it depending on whose team you're cheering for, but that's their call, and they at least said what happened. Like, can you imagine if football players did not say, if referees didn't say what they were calling, and then just the teams move around? The fans would go nuts.
Sure.
We'd hate it. Like, it's hard enough in other sports where they don't have to explain, and it's just you're based on your knowledge of the game, which I guess is a good part, because then fans have to get into the game and know exactly what's going on. They have to learn hand signals. They have to learn whatever's going on. And it's always, and from a ref's standpoint, just from my point of view, I'll just throw this in. It is a little fun to keep the fans in the dark. Like, one of the best things to hear is when I'm a referee and I'm hearing parents or fans chatting, and there's, and I've just made a call. Maybe they don't like it. Maybe they do. But then they're I hear them like talking and chit chatting, like, oh, this happened and this happened. The best feeling is hearing them get it wrong.
Sure.
It's the greatest feeling to just have that smug idea of like, haha, you guys, what do you think? You think you know what you're doing. You think you could come down and do my job, but you can't. You really can't. So I will say there is, I will concede that there is some decision to like referees going, you know, I kind of want to keep my score secret. But if we're going to solve the idea of not, of having this boxing outcome from last week happen, if we're going to try to avoid that, something has to be done as far as making decisions or a judgment calls, even, if you will. Like, the umpires have to scream safe or scream out, that at least let everybody know.
Right.
They at least, or the judge is like, yeah, that one was really hard. That punch was really hard. I'm going to give points for that. At least we know that now.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, let's play that through. If that So I would like to see that happen, but this may be a case of be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And it, once we had it, I might, there might be some dramatic effect loss. There might be some problems I'm not thinking of. Logically, sitting here in front of you now, the scores are turned in. The audience would like to know what it is. It would help the athletes and the trainers and the cornermen and the coaches to know what it is. We have a history of other sports that do it, so let's post the damn score. There must be an argument that's been made in back rooms and held up and won for the reason we don't do it. And nobody's brought me in on that, so I don't know. I don't fully know why we don't do it. So, taking her case an example with Adeline Bird, it's not going to change anything. She's going to get booed a little bit. I don't love the idea of her being fired. There is something here when you have a track record, and not only affecting guys' careers, but you have gaming. This is very relevant. When people are betting their hard-earned money and they just want a straight call made, it's important that they get it. And there's no collusion, but there is a competence level where somebody could just sit us down and explain it to us and go, look, here's what this is going to be. We've got, I'll use the Mohegan Sun by example. The Mohegan Sun is ran by a guy named Mike Mazzulli. He's one of the more respected commissioners in the history of the sport. He also is the president of something called the ABC. But Mazzulli has a process in place. You have to be a credentialed ABC referee to get an assignment from him. You must be a credentialed judge through one of his commissions, and that comes with things. It doesn't just happen because you filled out a piece of paper. This is why he's used overseas by other commissions to come in. This is why people respect him, and this is why he was elected the president of the ABC by fellow commissioners, because he's very proactive and he takes care of some of these things ahead of time. I just argue that that model perhaps should be spread out to all 50 states. It does seem as though, and I say this, I'm coming at you from a few different angles. One, on this podcast. Two, as a fan. Three, as a customer. But four, as a fighter, I don't know what the hell I have to do to win a fight. When a fight's done, I'm usually pretty sure this one's going to that guy or this one's coming to me. Usually pretty sure.
Yeah, and I think most of
but
us
I
are.
I never know.
The same thing.
Yeah, but I never know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I don't know what they're looking for. I just know what I think it means to win a fight, which comes back to why I love that it's subjective. I've never seen a fist fight and not known who won. And I get confused how anybody else doesn't know who won.
Well, most of those fights end up on the ground, though, right?
We got sure.
Like a fist fight on the street, they're going to pummel each other until someone is knocked out. Those fights, some of those fighters could go for, some of those UFC fights, they go for 3 rounds. They could go for 10 rounds.
Yeah.
And neither of them fall over. And that's kind of where you need a judge to come in. So they have to be there for something.
All right, guys, we have all seen mouth-watering healthy smoothies on Instagram or on Pinterest, or somebody tweets it like Ryan Parsons likes to do from my account. That's the kind of thing we should be eating. But who's got the time to make it every day? Wouldn't it be great if you could take those picture-perfect nutrients without having to hit the farmer's market and chop up a million fruits and veggies? Now you can get all the superfoods, and you can get them super fast with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest sends the superfoods straight to your door, so you can choose from smoothies, activated breakfast bowls, nice cream, vegan sundaes. Each single serving cup comes ready to blend or heat. Cups are stored in the freezer, so they're ready whenever you are. The produce is always organic. It's unrefined, and it looks as amazing as it tastes. You can actually see the whole ingredients when you open the cup. Daily Harvest freezes all of their ingredients at the peak freshness, sealing in their nutritional value. Preparing each cup is insanely easy. Guys, just add some water. And if you're feeling fancy, you can even substitute other liquids like Mike Dolce suggested, almond milk. Either way, Daily Harvest, every single cup, it's ready in about 30 seconds, so you can eat it right now. Guys, go to daily-harvest.com. Enter the promo code CHAIL, and you're going to get 3 free items in your very first box. That's promo code CHAIL for 3 free items from Daily Harvest. Daily-harvest.com. Daily-harvest.com.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey, or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, Jacob, let's switch some gears here, man, because like I was telling you, I was on both channels. You know what? Before we switch gears, I'm going to tell you this. I don't have a final conclusion on this. Look, she has a track record. That's a reality. It's to the point that people are writing about it ahead of time. And sure enough, man, this card was pretty wild. I think all we need to say is there's going to be a review. And I think for a review, you call her in, which could be a telephone call. It could be, as a fighter, listen, I'm licensed by the same guys. She's got a license by the same guys. I got to go before the commission. They hear me out, and they usually say okay. They usually hear from you and just want to know what you're thinking, and they say okay. But it's public. It's a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit stressful. Look, she's got the same license as I do, from the same commission as I do. I think that it's appropriate that it goes public on the record, and we just hear. And I think in a worst-case scenario, we learn something. It's only going to be one of two things. This person can't judge. Or we just learn what judges are looking for. Great.
Well, did we learn what judges are looking for, or are we learning what she's looking for?
Yeah, well, we learn. I guess it's either, because don't forget it's subjective.
Yes, because I will tell you, every referee I've ever talked to has pet peeves. Every referee in their sport, they'll say, well, I like to focus on this. Well, I don't like to call something this way because maybe it's a little harsher. And depends on the levels that going up from, like maybe they're reffing 12-year-old kids, or maybe they're up into high school, or maybe they're talking college ball. They all have some little nitpick thing, that's something that just really bugs them. Or they're like, I love calling that. So it just could change depending on referee to referee. And that she happened to get caught is unfortunate for her. But, yeah, at least she went public. Is that a start of something bigger? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know either. I just don't know what bad would come. It's not going to happen this way. And I don't mean that you walk her through the shame. I'm just saying, if everything's fair, everything's above board, and you've got a government transparency, I do have a license from them. And if something comes up, I have to go sit before them, say my piece, listen to theirs, and we all move forward from there. I think if she's licensed from those same people, she should go in publicly, just so we can learn, just so we can hear, not to smear her. Let's hear what she has to say. What if she's the smartest one in the room and we all go, oh my God, I hadn't even thought of that? I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but right? I mean, what if? I think it should be public, and I think a review's enough. I'm not saying fire. I guess I just want to make that point to you. Okay, let's switch gears here. Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold fought over the weekend against David Branch. Way harder fight than people thought it was going to be. Rockhold dismissed it from Jump Street, said, "This guy does not belong in here with me. I'm the best in the world. I should still have my world championship. I never lost to Bisping, and I'm damn sure not losing to this guy." And I remember hearing that and thinking, Luke, this is a hard fight. This dude hadn't lost in a long time. This guy had belts in two different divisions, and this guy believes he can beat you. This is a hard fight. And Luke would not hear it. He was dismissing it. No, it's not. David Branch comes out. Good game plan, forces the pressure. Luke dropped his hands a few times. I thought he would have learned that from the Bisping fight. And that's about the only damn critique I can give of Luke Rockhold. He looked awesome. And when it comes, for me, you put Rockhold in there any which way you want to do it. You want to put him at 85 in a contenders match, fine, I'm in, I'm watching. You want to put him in a title fight, I got no problem, I'm watching. You want to put him on free TV, pay-per-view, main card, undercard, headline the event, doesn't make any which way, I'm watching. Now he's talking about going up to 205 pounds. I hope he does that. But I'm watching. I'm in. There's something there. I would go as far as to tell you that Luke Rockhold is one of the best talents that division's ever seen. When you see what he did to David Branch, that went over some people's heads. Some people took Luke at his word from the beginning and go, well, Luke says this. Yeah, he said this guy's no problem, and he went out and the guy was no problem. I'm telling you, David Branch is a problem. Luke Rockhold's just that damn good. He's that damn good. Keep a microphone out of his face, okay? Handsome dude, good fighter, less is more sometimes on the mic, but I got his point. And, let's see what happens. I just happen to think he's probably a little further from a title shot than he thinks he is. And a fresh coat of paint at 205, that could be a fast track. Now, I'm speculating. That's for fun. I like when guys like him, former champions, change weight classes and you start to have parity you've never seen. I'm speaking purely as a fan. But, man, Luke deserves just a huge pat on the back. That was some heavy lifting he did, and he made it look pretty light.
Yeah, that was a pretty impressive fight. As far as switching weight classes, I like that. I like just any fighter switching weight classes. Is he going to – do you know if he's going to try to do the multi-belt at the same time thing? Is he trying to, or is he just going, hey, I just want another shot?
Yeah, well, let's start at the beginning. I don't know what's in his head, but it better not be that one because those days are just very numbered. I mean, if you went back and looked at how many guys did do it, one, Connor. If you look at how many guys were given the opportunity to do it, and that's more relevant, one, Connor. So you're not going to get that chance. So quit trying to be a copycat of Connor, okay? It was a big star. There was a few moving points. There was a one-off.
They are trying to copy Connor just because of the success. There's a blueprint they're going to try to follow. But yeah, even just switching. Yeah,
he did it. Why can't I? Well, because you're not Connor. That's
true.
Why.
Well, his idea is, well, I might be. So
there you go.
Why not? Why not stop?
Why not me?
But yeah, switching weight classes, that's a good idea.
There is a fresh coat of paint any time you switch weight classes. Now, he happens to be on a good little streak, highly ranked. But even for a guy who's not, when he switches weights, he does get a start over. I don't know that Luke's in a spot where he needs to do that. It was just said, are you going to go to 205? Kane's been out a little bit. Daniel's talking about going up to heavyweight. Boom, that opens up 205. They're all teammates, so they've all jockeyed and said, okay, you go here, I'll go here, you go there. If you lifted that, and Luke was receptive to it, because, man, I hate this weight cut. It's like, oh, really? Luke at 205? I'll drink to that.
I'm actually surprised he hasn't had that title shot earlier before now, because he has that mentality.
Sure.
To take the title fight. He's got, I mean, everyone talks big, but he talks big and he backs it up.
Yeah, and he wants it. There's no problem there. I mean, but you do come down to the politics. You do come down to who's going to draw, and then you end up in a logjam. I mean, we can defend Luke all we want and say good things about him. He sat on his ass for 15 months, and come hook or crook, that's the truth, and the sport moved very quickly. Now, you got St. Pierre in the division that people are trying to say doesn't belong there. George St. Pierre was the world champion that left without ever losing his title. He belongs wherever the hell he says he belongs. So get that out of your mouth. And then secondly, you got two gold belts out there right now. Whitaker's got one and Bisping's got one. You've got some business that needs to play out. So I'm just not certain where Luke fits in. And then if you want to have a whole conversation, anytime Anderson Silva throws his hat in the ring, it's got to be considered. There was a time where it was just whatever he wanted. It's not quite that time anymore, but it's got to be considered. So I don't know that Luke gets his title shot as quickly as he would like. He's been out 15 months, man. It's a landscape that changes every Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's what he's up against.
Well, what if he just called it out for what it is? Just like, give me the title. Or maybe if he didn't say, give me the title fight, but he called for like a big fight, a bigger fight.
Yeah, so guys could do that, including him. He's got the skills to back it up, but you have to have the mandate of the masses. And I think that that's – I mean, I think he's got a lot of fans. I think a lot of people are seeing what I'm seeing, which is, whoa, that's a rough dude. But does he have drama? Does he – I mean, all of a sudden he used the microphone opportunity, and the guy he buried was George St. Pierre. Well, not only has he got no business with George, he's never going to have business with George. There's no contract anywhere in any galaxy where him and George – so why'd you waste any time putting down – George or building some it was a missed opportunity there. And what he was saying was
occupying space. George is occupying space that he wants.
Yeah, hey George, get out of the way so I can fight Michael. That was the message. I thought he delivered the message pretty clearly, but there was a lot of people that are going, wait, why is he talking about George? I was one of those people. If this is all about Mike, talk about Mike. And you're not next for Mike. If Bisping comes out, there's a guy named Robert Whittaker who instantly goes in. I just thought that that part was a little bit off. I thought the whole rest of the performance, man. I mean, but I don't think he'll get that credit. I don't think other people are going to gloat over him like I am right now. But that's because they didn't know Branch. I happen to know Branch really well because I was traveling with the World Series covering his fights. And so for me, I think it just meant a little bit more for me than it did for some other people. And I'm just hoping everybody takes me at my word. It was a very impressive win.
There you go. Yeah, I feel like he just needs to. Well, his eyes are on the prize, so I'm okay with him calling out George a little bit. He's calling out that little area that he wants, which is what he should be doing. He's trying to go for the top. And if George happens to be there or is going to happen to be there, will he fight George? No, no. Will George want to fight him? No, of course not. But he is at the top. And, you know, there is the mentality of like going one step at a time, like, okay, I'm going to take you out, then you out, and then you out. But then there's also the mentality of, oh, I see that thing, just brush everybody off. It's like, oh, you're in my way, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, and then you're at the top. Yeah, I kind of admire that idea. It's different, it's odd, but I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that.
All right, boom. He's got one. You got to start somewhere. He won you over.
He did.
Boom,
he did.
He's got one. Guys, if you're looking for a car, it doesn't matter if it's new or if it's just new to you. Buy it with TrueCar. Go to a desktop, www.truecar.com. If you are listening to this show on a smartphone right now, and most of you are, go into your search engine and download the app. When you're ready to buy, go build the car you want virtually. Year, make, model, color, type in your zip code. You want to get nosy on a neighbor that pulled in with a new car in his driveway? You want to find out about what he paid or what he should have paid? Go build the car. You'll have some fun with it. After you build the car and type in your zip code, it's going to show you what people in your area paid for that exact same rig. At that point, you will be connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. They will find the dealership. They will make sure the rig is there. Your price will be worked out. Most people are saving $4,000 off of the MSRP. But here's where it gets even better. When you get to the dealership, your rig's going to be there and your price is going to be set. No going into the booth. No spending a day or even a weekend down at the car lot. No getting to a car lot because you fell in love with an advertisement and then the rig's not on the lot. Everything will be set. You're going to save time. TrueCar. Jacob, I was going to get us out of here. But let's go back to something before we do. At some point, you had asked me, hey, do judges ever speak publicly? And I said, no. And that's not literal, but boy, it's close enough. They're not supposed to. And when Mark Ratner was in charge, when he was the ED of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, which absolutely ran fighting, he told them that. He said, hey, guy, I don't want you cutting interviews. You guys are not here to be a star of the show. In fact, you're here for just the opposite. I want you to have a good mind on it. I want you to stay on top of the ball. I want you to be rested and alert, and I want you to show up in your seat, and I want you to do your job, and that is where this ends. You're not going to get rich, and you're damn sure not going to get famous. Now, who's in? And that's the way he ran it. You were talking about baseball and being an umpire. In my entire life, make sure this is literal. In my entire life, I have never heard an interview or seen one on television. I have never read one in print by an umpire.
I have read one.
Okay.
One. And it was because he blew a perfect game by a pitcher. It was the last call of the game, and he completely blew an out call. He went back. It was so clear on video. He went back, and he like, in tears, apologized.
Oh, he did?
He came out, and he was like...
Oh, he didn't defend his position?
No.
I respect that.
He came out. He was convinced he was right at the time. Of course he did. He had to be. He was in front of the field. And everyone was kind of like, what, really? Like, everyone saw it except him. Everyone was like, what, really? And then the pitcher was the classiest guy ever. He was like, his history got taken away from him. He's just like, really? Okay. Got the out in the next play. Game was over. The guy, his name's Jim Joyce. He actually lives in Beaverton. He comes out here quite a bit. He saw the video, and in tears, he came out and said, man, I just ruined your perfect game. I am so sorry.
Full pass.
Yeah.
Full pass. That's a stand-up move right there.
Yeah, it was. And he came out on the field the next day because he was in a crew, and they came out the next day. He got a standing ovation from the crowd.
He should.
Everyone was like, good, you admitted you messed up. That's all we
wanted
to hear.
That's a man you can trust. Not where I was going with any of this. I love that story, and that's a man you can trust right there.
That's the only one.
Okay, so then you agree with Mark Ratner. You
they
agree with
invisible.
Jim Rohn.
They should be invisible.
Right, you're not there
that
to be star of the show.
That is the best game. The best game is the most boring game for the umpires and the referees.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, we do need to rebuke this one time. We need a one time where you want to call it a summit, an interview, put it on the record. Like I said, you know, if Adelina goes in, I think that it should be public so we can learn something. But one time, tell us what in the hell you're looking for, just so we know. One time. And then we can go back to you guys living under a rock. But it is tough for them. That's a really tough spot to be in a show. Those cameras bite people. I mean, the same thing goes with the best executive directors. I could name a bunch of them. Here, let's do it right now. We're sitting in Oregon. Do you know who our executive director is?
Nope.
That's because she's damn good at her job. And you could go through, I mean, I could go state by state by state, but they stick to the regulations. They're not there to be a star of the show. If you've got a question, they pick up their phone, they answer the question. Everybody knows what the rules are. Everybody knows where the money is. Everybody knows what the insurance. I mean, you can break it down to the smallest thing. Everything is perfectly clear, but they don't need to be a celebrity. It's tough to not get bit by the bug. And executive directors sometimes will come forward and say, well, you know, PR is part of my job. No, it's not. It's actually not part of your job. You're electing to do that because walking away from those cameras is tough. And it's human nature. I think maybe they should think twice.
Yeah. I mean, this one time would be nice. Would it solve anything? Maybe it would educate us just a little bit as far as what people are looking for. But I don't buy it because that's just what she's looking for.
Sure.
Because they're all different.
Yeah.
Like, the two other judges had completely different scorecards.
That's why we can't call her wrong.
No, we can't. It's a judgment call.
No, we'll say she's wrong, but we're not actually right if you understand the definition because it's subjective. She can't be wrong. That's the one thing about it. That should be a really great thing. You bring in experienced, honest people with integrity, and that is what they do. But they can't be wrong. If you look at the definition, that's the way the whole thing's set up. I would just say it deserves review. And whatever the hell you're seeing, you do need to now tell us. What did you see? Because people did bet on it and they lost their money. So let them know. And two athletes put their career on the line and promote. I mean, there's a lot of things moving there. So at least tell us what you saw.
You know, I get asked that question as an umpire all the time by coaches. They'll come out and they know the call isn't going to get changed, but they just want to go, what'd you see right there? And I'll say, well, I saw this. And they'll go, oh, I think you're wrong. And then they'll walk away and I'll walk my way. That's how it goes.
That's sometimes how it goes. But it would be helpful. Yeah. It would be helpful because you are talking about a PR mess. I mean, that is what we're talking about. We've said it five times in this show. Perception's reality and never more exemplified than when you're dealing with a government agency. So we do need an explanation here.
With
period.
Money on the line, too. Yep.
Oh, with money on the line. We got to have an explanation. I do not know what it is. For Jacob, I'm Chael, and until tomorrow, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Want to know why Attack Each Day was on top of the iTunes charts in its first week?
What the hell's going on around here?
I ripped my headphones off, spun around, and flinged them. I turn around, and my dad is like 3 inches from my face. And he says, go get him.
Gentlemen, we're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Brought to you by Podcast One Sports. Hear Jim Harbaugh, Jack Harbaugh, and JT Rogan share their stories every Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, and podcastone.com.